Welcome to the Tripod, where we break down the NRL every game, every week from a punting perspective. I'm Jacob Wynn. This is the round 23 punting preview. Last week was a pretty bad week for the pod, worst of the season in terms of just the best bets alone. We went 1-5 on the 6 best bets. We did win the mixed matchup, so we've kept that phenomenal streak going. That was the 12th win from the last 13. Lost the multi, as you would expect. And the best bet winning percentage has taken quite a hit. When you're going that well, and then you have a bad skid, the winning percentage is quite sensitive. We're down to 64% winners on best bets, and your profit, if you've had 100 on every best bet mixed matchup, down to about plus 3,200 for the season. Still a really good year, but a really bad week. If you're one of those people like me, actually, who likes to listen, get some sort of satisfaction listening to a losing coach press conference, that's probably where you want to go back and listen to the round 22 recap, where I did go game by game, face the music on all the results from round 22. So I won't revisit that too much, although I actually am going to put a segment in here all about dealing with the losses from last week and a little bit of context and a little bit of reality of punting. But first things first, let's get to my best bets. And I've got four of them for us to jump on this weekend if you like them. And it begins Friday night. I'm taking the Rabbitohs plus 5.5 at $1.80 on Bet365 in their alt line. And they are playing Penrith. Next best, you can get a plus 4 as well. That would be a mechanical bet where Unibet has the plus 5.5 also, $1.76, so just 4 cents less. We can't use that as a best bet, but if you put a portion on that and a portion on the $2 line on Ladbrokes, you can get a plus 4 and even a plus 4 on Top Sport, and I think that's a really strong play. The reason I like it, I think it's a really evenly matched game. Both really strong sides, obviously. It's also going to be a preview of week 1 finals, and so the biggest factor for me is it doesn't really matter who wins. Therefore, I had to try and think about who do I think wants it more? And what I've landed on is I believe this game should be more important to South Sydney. Why? Because last time these sides met, South Sydney got flogged, had 56 points put on them. That was also the last time South's lost. The previous time South played Penrith was losing in the prelim last year. Penrith also beat South in 2020. I just feel like the Rabbitohs need to prove to themselves they can beat Penrith, and they're the stronger side coming in. Virtually full strength with Johnston, Graham, Gagai all back. While Penrith get a couple of guys back, but like Luai is still out, To'o is still out, Fisher-Harris hasn't been, you know, training with the team. He may or may not play returning from the bubble. So even if both teams were desperate, I'd still take Rabbitohs plus the points. And I think there may even be a motivation edge advantage. That's why I like that. Then moving to Saturday, I'm going to take the West Tigers plus 2.5 in the first half. $1.88 on Ladbrokes and Neds, but 2.5 on every bookie. Next best, $1.84 on Top Sport. So they play the Sharks. It's essentially an elimination game. Both these teams are still in the finals hunt. They have to win their remaining three to have a shot. I think the Tigers are the more confident team here because they're the ones off back-to-back losses, while the Sharks, it's a bit of a guessing game how they're going to respond to a really tough loss against Newcastle that would have just had them in such a stronger position if they could have gutted that one out, but they couldn't. They've got to pick themselves up and go again. Maybe they can, maybe they can't. But either way, I just don't see that much between these teams, so I'm inclined to take the plus 4.5 anyway. And every bookie's at 4.5 on this game, although I'll give you a bonus tip. You can get plus 6.5 on Unibet at $1.79. Now, I think, as I just referenced before, I'm only giving up best bets. Minimum odds $1.80, so I can't play that. So then if I come back to the 4.5, I like first half even stronger. Even though it's a day game, I just have a sense this could be a lower scoring match, could be tight just with everything that's on the line. Kind of like Sharks Knights last weekend, which was a day game but was a final score of what, like 14-12, 16-14. So it could be like that. And in that case, those points are just an absolute premium, especially when you halve the game and in a 40 minutes plus 2.5 could be vital. I like to play the Tigers that way. Moving to later on Saturday, going to take the Bulldogs plus 8.5, also as a first half bet, and also on Ladbrokes and Neds, $1.88, next best on Top Sport. They play the Knights. Now, I'm not thrilled to be on Canterbury again, but they do get Luke Thompson back, and I've spoken about how vital he is. Arguably, he's their best player. So he's back from suspension, should be fresh firing to go. It's kind of the opposite story for the Knights. They lose Daniel Saifidi and Tyson Frizzell. And look, it is a very important game for the Knights, so I expect they should win this game. The 16.5 point favourites, and they've got the class of Ponga, Pierce, Bradman Best out there. But it's still a matter of, like, with their forward pack, I actually think that the the Dogs can go set for set with the Knights. And I actually think the fact that the Knights know that they just like need to get the 2 points and should be too good for the Dogs, they'll be happy to kind of just try and grind them out and not make any mistakes and not play too risky. And also, if this game is to open up with, which is always a chance, although I've noticed recently it seems like there's a few less six agains, a few less sin bins than what we were getting in the middle of the season. But if this game does open up, I always feel with these big favourites, it's more likelihood in the second half with maybe one of those guys like Ponga or Best opening the game up once they're trying to beat some tired defenders. So therefore, I've always liked that first half play with the big underdog, and I'll take it again with the ugly Bulldogs. I don't think too many people will be too appealed to jump on them this week, but I will, even though we lost on them last week. I'll touch on that more later. Finally, the Dragons, similar sort of story. I'm going to take them in the first half, plus 6.5. Key number there, $1.88. Ladbrokes, Ned's next best uni bet, $1.87. They play the Roosters on Sunday. And look, St. George has lost 5 straight games, but actually are still alive in the finals hunt. They're in the same situation as West and Sharks, where they must win out. And look, while they've lost McCulloch, the Roosters have players out as well. I mean, Radley has copped a suspension on top of Crichton being suspended, on top of all the injuries they've got. This game is not completely out of the reach of St. George, who then next week play the Cowboys. And even in week 25, most people would look at the schedule and say, well, there's no way the Dragons are going to beat Souths. There's a possibility Souths play their reserve team in that game. So really, all you need if you're backing St. George, I think, is a sniff of life. And I think they still have that. I think based on the players they've picked, it shows an intent that they're picking Dufty at fullback. He's out the door next season. But it shows an intent to me that you're picking the strongest squad you have available. They've got no more of these COVID sanctions to play out. So they actually can pick a reasonably strong squad. I mean, Tarek Sims comes back from suspension. There's just enough to like about the Dragons this week on a long turnaround as well to give the Roosters a game. Whether they do or not, I think most importantly, they're going to have to be close and start well in the first half. If the Dragons are down, you know, more than 6 in the first half, you wouldn't have such a degree of confidence that they'll keep it within the 12.5, which is the full game line. That's why I think the first half line is the stronger play. Now, you'll notice those last 3 best bets were all available on Ladbrokes and Ned's at the best price. And while TopSport sponsors this podcast, we've got links for several of the bookies that we trust and we suggest that you have in your arsenal. Ladbrokes and Ned's have the same prices, so you only need one or the other, really. But we've also got a code if you've been thinking about joining them. They've got their $2 lines and stuff like that Thursday, Friday. So the code to join Ladbrokes and Ned's is TRIPOD250. Now, I will also share the mixed matchup for this week where we're looking for our 13th win from 14. That'll come a little later once I've talked about each game. But I do want to go back to the losses last week just briefly because it was our worst round in terms of just purely best bets. I think it's an opportunity to talk about the reality of punting and responsible gambling, which is really important and important to me. So, as I said, I've already gone game by game. Look, we had one winner last week in the best bets, and that team was Manly covering against the Eels. They covered the line by more than the other 5 losses lost combined. We had 4 losses last week that were within a try. So, you know, if I want to spin it, I'm sure we definitely could have gone 2-4 or 3-3 on those 6 plays easily. But in saying that, that's not good. That's not what I'm trying to strive for with best bets either. So I'm not here to try and spin it around. Like, the fact is, that's a reality of punting, that you do have bad weeks and you do lose a bunch in a row sometimes. And I do want to say sorry. And as I said on Sunday, like, I've literally had multiple people message me to tell me that they lost thousands on the tips last weekend, which of course is awful for me to hear and to deal with. Not something I enjoy as part of doing all this, even though it does make me wonder if someone's betting those kind of amounts on Tripod Best Bets. You surely have to be doing pretty well this season, 68% up till last round. But I want to stress that as well, because when I say sorry, to me, the definition of sorry means I won't do it again, but that is not something I can promise. Every single bet, we are betting something from the odds of $1.80 to $2, and as you would expect, that's near a 50-50 chance of winning or losing. And obviously everything I do and all the angles I try and touch on and the factors that I try and find is to swing that ratio in our favor. So it's not truly 50-50, we're winning at a better ratio than that, but there's never any guarantees. And I said the week after we swept, I'm not going to win every week, and you just can't expect that. And Obviously, you know, we lost last week. That doesn't mean we're definitely going to win again this week. I know lots of people are being really supportive and saying, you know, oh, you're going to bounce back and it's pod bounce back time and stuff like that. At the end of the day, I hope people can understand, like, every match is an independent event. It's like flipping a coin or spinning a roulette wheel. You go on a good run, you go on a bad run, but it doesn't guarantee what the next five flips or games or spins are going to be. And I know that sounds obvious to some, but I want to emphasize that because I don't think everybody out there sharing tips is that real about it. I know there's people that, you know, really want everyone to follow them, or especially if someone's charging for tips, you know, it's not in their interest to say, oh, that's just how it goes. You know, people will try and convince you, oh, that was such a fluke, that will never happen again, like, I'm definitely going to win it back for you. And I don't want to really be giving you guys false promises like that. So what I can promise is, obviously, the results that we've had for the pod for 7 years, or any results you want to look at, you can decide how good they are in the long run. And then hopefully it's worthwhile for you to watch me or listen to the Tripod every week, because you're listening to someone that's proven they can win long term and you're hearing breakdowns from that perspective. But it's never a case of, I'm going to listen because I need to win this week. This is not the pod for you. In the short term, it's so easy. Like, a terrible tipster could have gone 6-0 last week, and a good tipster could go 0-6. So in one round, you know, anything can happen. And we have to bet with that in mind. When you put your bets on, you actually need to acknowledge that every bet I place could lose. So this week we've got 4 best bets. You need to think this could go 0-4. I know that sounds kind of bleak, but I would rather people think that way and think, hey, this guy went 1-5 last week. You know, I don't know how confident I should be. And these bets could all lose this week. And the fact is, they could. And it's better off that you think that rather than thinking, oh, he could win them all again this week. This is how much I could win. So, you know, I think there were negatives for sure last week. And one negative was just having all those losses in one chunk, losing 5 best bets in a week, and, you know, really hurt. But to take some positives, you know, the week before we went 4-0. If you combine the last 2 weeks, we went 5-5 in the last 2 rounds. Now, if it had been like a 2-2 round and then a 3-3 round, or 3-2 one week, 2-3 the next, people wouldn't really blink at those results so much in the context of this season. It obviously feels a lot worse when a bunch of the losses all come on the same weekend. But on a positive note, in some ways, it's not a bad thing to have all the losses in the same weekend where it only sinks one multi, and when in fact in round 21, we won our multi. So, you know, it's that in some ways, we benefit from extreme variance when those winning streaks align where we've got a multi on the same weekend. We obviously want to sometimes have our wins in bunches, but we have to acknowledge as well that we can get losses in bunches too. Other positives is that we won the mixed matchup last weekend despite only getting one game truly right. And as I said, the season profits dipped from 3,500 to 3,200. Still not too bad. And another positive from last weekend was that our 15-1 season multi, with that Tigers win and with that Cowboys loss, the Tigers are now over 7.5 wins for the season. The Cowboys are now, you know, 100% not making the finals. We're only down to the Dragons, whether they make the finals or not. Our multi needs them to miss. We had 3 other teams to make the 8 that are all definitely in. We had the Dogs to miss, which is definitely happening as well. And if you look at the current odds now, the Dragons are $1.01 to miss the 8. So we're in a really strong position for that. And obviously, you know, in a round where we lose a bunch of best bets, but if we still win the mixed matchup and a 15-1 is all but secured, I guess that isn't too bad. I know for a fact over 400 Tripod followers are on that 15-1 multi, so that's a positive as well. Not to get too deep with you guys, I know this rant has gone on long enough, but like, I do genuinely believe sometimes in life things happen to you which at the time feel like the worst thing, but in the long run, you look back and it can be a good thing. So I do try and find the positives in things when those bumps in the road appear. And I hope that a positive we take out of this is just that harsh lesson that can make us more responsible gamblers, because that is something that's really important. All right, enough getting too heavy, guys. Let's jump into round 23. But first, we've got to play our sponsored segment to pay the bills here with Tristan from Top Sport. He's going to give us his reflections on the round 22 results from the bookies side of the counter. We're going to talk about this bizarre Tom Trbojevic news and how it's changed and how the market has reacted in the last few days. And I'll touch on that as well as any other line moves or notable factors for round 23. Let's hear from Tristan.
Hello, Tripod family. It's Tristan Merlihan here from Top Sport. We've only got 3 weeks left of the regular season, so we're getting close to the finals. There's a race for those bottom two spots. Newcastle look pretty safe there in seventh now. Although they won't want to drop one of these last few games and open the door. The race for eighth is really heating up. Obviously, the Titans got a very tough ask tomorrow night or Thursday night when they take on the Storm. So that will bring the chasing pack a little bit closer. Really good game on Friday night between the Panthers and the Rabbitohs. Panthers slight favourites. $1.70 Penrith, $2.18 the Bunnies. This is an interesting game because these sides in all likelihood match up again in round one. Will the coaches pull all the tricks out of their sleeve? Will they leave a little bit in the bag? Because in reality, the second place offering probably isn't as important as what it has been in years gone by without that home ground advantage. But obviously, both sides will want to win to build that confidence and momentum leading in that potential rematch in a month's time. The game that's been the most interesting one and tricky one to trade has been Canberra against Manly. That line opened up at six flat, $1.50 Manly, $2.60 Canberra. That was when Turbo was expected out. And I don't think anyone even thought he was a chance of playing when those markets went up. He's obviously gone from being rumoured in to being named, and the markets moved from 6 flat to 16.5. It went from 6 flat to 8.5 to 10 to 10.5 to 14.5 and to 16.5. So it's been constant flow of money towards the Seagulls. Obviously, we know how important a player he is. Jacob's asked me to comment on how many points Turbo would be worth in previous weeks. So this was a pure example when he went from being expected out to being named in, and it has moved over 10 points and may still go further as we get closer to jump time, because I know how well supported Manly have been all season, well, since Turbo's been back anyway. Just be a little bit mindful, check your team list, just make sure that he does absolutely play, because if for whatever reason he didn't play, there would be a pushback Canberra's way, and you would expect the total points to lower as well. All right, punters, well, good luck for the weekend. Plenty of good football on. Looking forward to seeing a couple of those games and seeing how they pan out. And I'll be cheering on the Dragons to get an upset victory against the Roosters, because unless that happens, I think the big payout for the season multi that was placed at the start of the year looks like it's going to salute. So best of luck, everyone. As always, gamble responsibly, and we talk to you over the weekend.
Thank you, Tristan. And I'll touch a little bit more on the Tom Trbojevic saga, I guess you call it. It's still open because at this point in time, we probably think it's highly likely he's going to play on Friday, but we don't know, I guess, until he jogs out on the field there on Friday. So we'll see what happens. But starting on Thursday night at Cbus Stadium, the Titans play the Storm. The line on this game is 21.5. I have a lean to the Titans. I don't have a play. They were way off the pace last week when they got thumped by the Bunnies. Now, they've had a couple of big losses as well, with AJ Brimson and Mo Fotuaika being out. At least they have a nice backup fullback there in the young Jaden Campbell, and their captain, Jamal Fogarty, will return to play halfback. Now, for the Storm, they were lackluster very much so by their standards. They didn't close out the Raiders in the way we would have hoped. That's a game we were on, and with a 16-point halftime lead, you're thinking business as usual. The Storm didn't score a try second half. Now, part of that, several reasons. Maybe, I mean, losing Finucane in the first minute hurt, and he is out this week. Going to have a week off because of that head knock. And, of course, Jerome Hughes was hit very late and high, and kind of a scary hit, and that's going to cause him to miss this game too. And on top of that, the Storm are arguably resting their two most physical players, Justin Olam and Brandon Smith. And again, the fact that they're just resting them, it shows that the Storm aren't necessarily desperate to win this game. In terms of big ins, well, they don't really have any. The key personnel change is Pappenhausen is going to start at fullback and Hines is actually going to move to halfback. But the Storm is still not full strength because, like, Kamakamitha is still out with the calf. Asofa Solomona, I believe, still out with the hammy. So they're not at full strength, which means the Titans are catching the Storm at a pretty good time, but we still know what the Storm are capable of. I mean, you rest Brandon Smith, but you got the luxury to play Harry Grant at hooker. So the Storm are still obviously so formidable, and it's a tough one looking at them. Like, last week was a bit of a surprise, and I think you go back to the last month of Storm football, and apart from a pretty comprehensive win over Penrith, they've had a few kind of subpar performances. Certainly that game where they got a little scare in Townsville, and even Manly pushed them to the wire, anybody's game with 20 to go, and then last week as well. And it makes you wonder, like, are they kind of having that little dip that they don't mind having just prior to the finals, and then they're going to start to ramp things up? And if that's the case, you don't really want to be backing the Storm right now, because they're obviously not, then it's not their goal to be firing on all cylinders each and every week. It's their goal just to get players through and to rest any niggles where they want to, and maybe not train as hard, and all this kind of things that would be reasons why it may actually be a good time to pick the Storm off. But in saying that, you also take the risk that you play the Storm after a subpar performance, and that could be the week where they really try to flex their muscles again. So, I mean, for sure, we got to acknowledge the Storm wants to break the all-time winning streak record. I think if they win this week, they get to 19, which is will equal the record. So, you know, no doubt the Storm are going to be hungry to win and probably looking for improvement on last week. But it's just a question of how worried are they going to be about margin of victory. They do also get a longer turnaround than the Titans. So I'm kind of conflicted about this game, where I've got reasons to go on and against both sides. In terms of the Gold Coast, I do think losing Brimson Fotuaika are really untimely losses, because the Titans need to win two more games out of their final three to make the eight. And, you know, if you play the Titans with the plus points, at least what you do have going for you is that they should fight for the full 80 minutes, because that plus minus is going to probably matter at the end of the season. But I don't know, the Titans just was so anemic last week against Souths, where I thought they'd be a little bit more competitive. I'm just not necessarily convinced about them. And just on that note, that the Titans need to win two more times this year, you know, if you're really skeptical, you say that they're not going to beat the Storm, and therefore their grand final was kind of next week against the Knights, which would then allow them to get to round 25 and play, like, basically as a play-in game against New Zealand. So you could therefore classify this as a look-ahead spot for the Titans, therefore not an optimal week to jump on them. As I say, reasons to be on both sides, I'll pass. Moving to Friday, the Raiders play the Seagulls at Suncorp. I'm going to lean to Manly in this one. Tristan touched on the bizarre events that have happened around Turbo, which, and I touched on it as well on Sunday night's recap, but it was really just breaking. And at that point in time, people are saying he had a fractured cheekbone and he's out 2-3 weeks. Someone even said season. And then the latest news, as I record this Wednesday night, is he's sweet to play and he's named at fullback. And, you know, it was just a false alarm. And he actually has a steel plate in his cheek, and somehow that was confusing them in terms of how they were reading the response to the impact that he had, which was friendly fire. So it's a crazy one in the sense that this line moved 10 points, where the line dropped all the way to 6.5 when everyone thought Turbo was out. And now as it stands, Manly are a 16.5 point favorite. I've never before, nor my time punting, seen a player worth like 10 plus points in an NRL game, a sport that has 13 members per team. So it is crazy, but I can't really argue with it. I understand, of course, how good Turbo is. Now, my guess at this point in time, and that's all any of us can do, is he's got to be in 95% likelihood to play. I think, obviously, Manly are still trying to push to make the top four. They probably need to win their final three games. And if they do win their final three, they probably do get that top four spot, just looking at what the Roosters have got coming up. And actually, the Manly's next two opponents are the Cowboys and the Dogs. So this game on Friday is arguably Manly's most important one remaining in the regular season. So therefore, you could probably play Tom, and then if you need to give him a rest, yes, you could rest him in a subsequent week. So that's what could happen there. With the Raiders, they're not full strength here either. They've lost Tom Starling, Jared Croker, and Harawira Naira, of course, copped that suspension for the hit on Jerome Hughes. There is an addition with Nickel Klukstad being returning, and he's had like spinal issues and neck issues, but he's had the surgery, but he's recovered and is on the bench for the Raiders, which should give him a little boost. The Raiders, like the Titans that I spoke about in the previous game, need two wins also. So they're in a precarious situation where they play New Zealand next week, and you'd probably back them to be a favourite against the Warriors, but they finish with the Roosters. So it's probably fair to say about Canberra, they're going to have to get an upset victory, one more upset victory, to make the finals, whether it be this week or whether it be in round 25. It's also worth remembering, as we talk about upset victories, this is a rematch of a fairly recent game. These two teams played, Manly and Canberra, in an Origin week where there were no Origin players, so obviously no Turbo, and the Raiders revitalized their season, getting an upset win at Brookie against Manly. So in saying that, it's a different kettle of fish with no Turbo, but of course Canberra didn't have some of their best players either. I do reference that game because I find it quite hard to believe that Canberra will beat Manly twice in fairly short succession. So therefore, I think Manly will kind of comfortably control this game. I just wouldn't lay the points because I've missed the best chance. I mean, obviously 6.5, you're kicking yourself for not taking the minus there. But at that point in time, we all thought Turbo was out. But even since Turbo's been confirmed in, I just keep seeing this line just creeping up. And I hate kind of getting not getting the best of it. And then even then, we have to still acknowledge, and I'm going to touch on this later, there's still that small possibility that after all the furor that's gone on, that when Manly runs out on Friday night, that Turbo gets a rest. Like, you still can't be certain he's going to play if Dez does want to keep him in cotton wool. So that's a concern you'd have if you took Manly. But if I had to play it, I would still lean to the Seagulls. I think they'll be significantly too good for the Raiders. Moving to the game I have my first best bet of the round on. So I'm going to take Souths plus $5.50 on Bet365. And they have won 10 in a row. Last time they lost was when these two teams hooked up in Dubbo. And people might forget as well when that happened. Souths were nearly full strength last time. I mean, I think Cam Murray may have been out, which of course is significant, but they had pretty much all their other troops on deck. The line was 10.5, and I took Souths as a best bet. And I think that was actually our biggest losing best bet all season, of all of our best bets. And I'm trying to expand the marketing and growth of the pod and put it on, you know, new platforms where people can find it. And I've started sharing the tips on TikTok just as 60-second clips. And I'm pretty sure that Souths plus 10.5 against Penrith and they end up losing 50-10 or something has the most comments of any of my posts on TikTok. It's something about an embarrassing loss. Nothing gets engagement like that. So they copped that 50-point hiding. And if you recall, it was only 2 weeks earlier they copped a 50-point hiding off Melbourne. But I even said way back then, you just can't write Souths off. I think this team, you know, had a higher ceiling and clearly they've shown a lot more of what they're capable of. And I actually think the Bunnies come into this one the hotter side and the better side, to be honest. And you add Johnston, Gagai, Graham. While Penrith do get back Coruscant and Kurt Capewell and Fisher Harris and Tevita Pango Jr. in the reserves, so they could come in stronger. But as I said at the top, they're still not as strong as they can be. It's a cracking game on paper. And realistically, it's a preview of the finals because Melbourne aren't very likely to lose two more games this season. So this is going to be second versus third. That is a factor for me because you do question whether each team, you know, wants to fully show their hand. But I think if in doubt, I think the Bunnies have the more to play for here, although I expect Penrith to still come in strong. But I'll take the Bunnies with that start. I'm not even convinced that the Panthers are the better side here. So I was surprised that the Bunnies are, you know, still a solid underdog across every market. I'm not sure if that's right. We'll find out. Should be a good game, but feel pretty good taking the Bunnies with the points. Moving to Saturday, the Tigers play the Sharks. The Sharks are 4.5-point favourites in Rockhampton. And I lean to the Tigers, and I am going to take them as a best bet in the first half, plus $2.50 on Ladbrokes and Neds. So both these teams are only 2 points outside the eight. They both have pretty weak plus minus, but 3 out of 3 wins to end the season would definitely have them in the frame. So they're both on a tightrope, you could say, and they still definitely have the belief in their clubhouse that they can make it. And what's also definitely clear is the loser of this game is going to be out. So I actually love the fact that that's a high-stakes footy match. That's kind of like finals come early when we get to watch this one on Wednesday. Might not be the highest quality, but it's the highest-stakes match of the round probably. And you know, you might look at their schedules and say, well, neither of these teams is going to win all their remaining games because the Tigers still have Penrith and the Sharks still have Storm. But as I've kind of referenced with the latter, like, Penrith aren't really worried about whether they finish second or third, and the Storm are so close to securing the minor premiership. And in fact, when the Storm play the Sharks, in all likelihood, they will have secured the minor premiership. So these teams, Cronulla and West, could play last year's grand finalists, and last year's grand finalists could be resting guys or not really overly concerned with the outcome. So I think, you know, I don't think teams think that way, like, we can't beat them, so therefore our season's over. I think you just need a team to have a bit of hope, and that goes a long way in terms of that motivation, application, and full focus on getting the result. So definitely expecting this one to be tight, definitely expecting both teams to be desperate. And it goes back to me just not really seeing where across the park the Sharks have a strong edge or where they're going to overwhelm the Tigers. I don't really see it. Now, they've named a similar team, Cronulla, to the one that lost that heartbreaker to Newcastle. Tolman is suspended, and I'm sure you've heard the news about Fifita, but on a positive note, today they've announced that he successfully had the surgery and should make a full recovery. I want to give a shout out to Andrew Fifita. Let's go back to 2016 for a second. The pod tipped the Sharks to win the grand final that year. Tipped them in the grand final specifically. I was there. I was sitting on the goal line. I saw Fifita score that try against four Storm players and actually thought he was the best on ground for the Sharks that night. So wishing him all the best from the pod, mate. On the Tigers side of things, Tarmow has missed a couple of recent games, but he's back. Liddell is suspended, so Simpkin, the rookie, will play hooker there for the Tigers. And I just think this is a game where it most likely will be tight, but there's even that chance that Cronulla, who have showed a lot of resilience through 2021 with all the things that have happened and all the adversity, and yeah, you can say a lot of that's self-created, but still, that they probably picked themselves up here and put up a good performance with their season on the line. But it's not a certainty either. You do sometimes see teams after a heartbreaking loss, they are naturally a bit more flat. Whereas Wests, I think, if anything, have a little spring in their step. Yeah, they haven't done anything special in beating the Dogs and the Cowboys. But for a team that's so downtrodden to actually win a couple in a row, and a team like Wests have never really at any stage looked secure as if they're going to make the eight. It's kind of always been a pipe dream. They're just trying to keep that dream alive. So I actually have more confidence that Wests will come in with the enthusiasm, the effort, the intensity required, potentially to win this game and certainly to cover the line. I like the line in the first half, getting 2.5. Moving later to Saturday, Dogs play Knights. The Knights are 16.5 point favourites, and I do lean to the Dogs for the full game, and I am taking the Dogs plus 8.5 first half. But let's start with the Knights. So this is still their game to lose, because the Knights should be too good. On paper, they clearly are too good for the Dogs, and the Knights are in the box seat of all the teams that are still battling to make the eight. And part of that is their ladder position right now, but also the fact that they get an opponent like Canterbury that should be 2 points for Newcastle. And I'm not here saying the Knights aren't going to win. If you look at Newcastle last week, they let us down with the best bet. And if you really, to be kind to the Knights, you'd say it was a 50-50 game and they did just enough. And if you're a bit less kind, you'd actually say Newcastle stole that one. I really think Cronulla was as good, if not better, than them last week. But the Knights, just the way it went late and a call here or there and a moment here or there, they just got over the line. But that is a massive win for the Knights. And now they're playing an opponent that's only won 2 out of 21 games this year. So if the Knights win this game, they go a long way to securing a final spot, which is obviously huge for them. But what they do have to overcome is the loss of Daniel Saifidi, who may or may not play again this season. He's got an MCL injury. And Frizzell, who has to serve a 1-game suspension this week. As for Canterbury, there's not too much good you can say about them. I thought they hung quite tough against New Zealand, but ultimately the limitations that we all know too well, in that they are so unimaginative and so impotent with the ball sometimes, that's what cost them. They didn't score a try in second half. I mean, technically they did score a try second half, but it got disallowed for an unnecessary late shot. And I spoke about that in my recap, although since it's come out, the match review committee actually said it wasn't a penalizable offense. Well, it got penalized and it wiped 6 points off the board and it hurt us there. But end of the day, they lost by 14 points and they've lost Marshall King for this one. But getting back Luke Thompson from suspension, I think, is huge. I have to note as well, we're jumping on the Dogs, even though there's injury clouds over Avarillo and Meaney. I just think they've got their halves options. They've got Lachie Lewis and Flanagan, both are in the reserves. And even with Meaney, I mean, Corey Allen was a late scratch last week with an illness, so he could slot straight in if Meaney can't play. Look, after being nearly written off, for Newcastle to be in the position they're in now is quite impressive, and what a waste it would be for the Knights if they don't take this opportunity and win. So I'm sure the Knights take care of business, but again, it comes down to the manner in which they do that, and sometimes when you really expect you should win, you actually don't want to try and blow the opposition off the park. You just want to make sure there's nothing crazy happens. The Dogs are a team that just wants to play high completion rate, wants to get in an arm wrestle with you. I think Newcastle should feel that if they go along with the Knights, if they go along with the Dogs, they should have the class and they should have the playmakers. That will be the difference in this game. you know, for me, when I look at any matchup, it starts with the forward battle. And right there, I don't necessarily see an edge to the Knights. So the risk we take with the Dogs, and we're gonna, if you take the Dogs with me this week, is that they can't really chase points. If they fall behind, then it's very hard for them to keep themselves in a competition, because really all they can do is match you with their desire and effort and with their completion rate. And so there's always that risk that, you know, if things go wrong early, or if someone like Ponga or Best just blows the game open, then we're in trouble and there's that momentum snowball. But that's all part of the risk, and I actually feel we half negate that risk by taking the Doggies with the first half line. That's the way I like it. Moving to Saturday night, the Eels play the Cowboys at Cbus. And I'm going to lean to Parramatta in this one. Now, we've actually bet against Parramatta the last three straight weeks, had best bets against them, and we've won them all as easily as you could like. And sometimes when you're just riding a wave, you're tempted to just keep riding it, like, until you wipe out. So some people have been profiting just betting against Parramatta for the last month, and you probably just think, why not? But I'm not really one to just try and blindly ride a wave. Every single week, I try and assess it based on the merit that week. And the thing is, you might have an opinion that's informing your bet. And in my opinion, obviously, that I've been sharing is that Parramatta just looks shot. The problem is, each week, as the results unfold, that opinion is kind of becoming a well-known fact now, and therefore it's built into the odds. So I think what you really just need to ask yourself is whether Parramatta's hit rock bottom yet? And that's what we're going to find out this week, because they play the Cowboys, who've been equally, if not more horrible than Parramatta. They're a more limited side with less, you know, quality players than Parramatta, but also I don't even think they're playing up to the level that they should be. Parramatta will be without a quality player. Madison is suspended for the rest of the regular season. The Cowboys lineup, this is the interesting part, and maybe part of the reason I don't have a best bet. This Griffin Neame is suspended, and I wouldn't usually reference a rookie bench forward, but I actually thought he sparked a bit of life when he came on last week, but he's suspended. But what we need to look at with the Cowboys is Taumalolo and Tabuai Fidoh have been named in the reserves, and that always makes it tough. I know it's tough for the bookies, but it's tough for the punters too, to know, like, these are clearly difference makers. They're very thin in the outside backs. They've got Granville playing in the centers, for goodness sake. So that would be a big boost if the Hammer was back, and obviously I don't need to explain what a massive difference Taumalolo would make. I think the last two times he fractured his hand, he missed more than one game. So this feels early, but, you know, I can't speculate on the severity of the fracture. So it's another one where if you hear news that's more rock solid, you may be able to get an advantage play before the market moves. And in terms of which side you'd be looking at, I've been hearing these rumors about the Eels that they're disgruntled camp, and then this week that Arthur's kind of given them a three-day break and basically told them go and hit the beach and unwind, and that clearly that's not an ideal preparation. But it's in saying that, it could be exactly what they needed, because this team just looks like mentally and physically fatigued. Another thing I will say about Parramatta, now you look at their form the last month, it's been shocking. But the last three games, they did play the Roosters, the Rabbitohs, and the Seagulls, who were all lined up pretty strong those nights and all played really well in those respective nights. So if you're a team that is just struggling to find your mojo, that's a pretty tough stretch of opponents to come up against. Whereas this week for Parramatta, there's no excuse like that. They've got a team that they definitely should be too good for. So my gut feeling is the Eels will rebound and they will roll North Queensland. But it doesn't make sense to me to bet on Parramatta tonight, and then tomorrow Taumalolo could be ruled in. Now, I should also mention, with the player uncertainty in terms of who is named in the 1-17, Felt and Hess are both named, but both in some doubt as well. So there's player news that could go both ways. But I definitely think, regardless of who lines up for the Cowboys, the Eels should win. But you don't generally make a lot of money betting on a side that could be divided. So to the extent that which all those rumors are true, nobody really knows. But I would like to see how Parramatta goes this week in a game they should win and observe them. And then I can make my judgment on kind of the state of affairs in Parramatta. So I'll pass that game. I'll move to Sunday and I will take the Dragons. And I like them +12.5. And the Roosters are favored, obviously, in that game's in Toowoomba. But I think the even stronger play is the +6.5 first half for the reasons I outlined before. I've also said, Dragons right now, if you were to bet them to miss the eight, is $1.01. That's the only leg of seven of our 15-1 multi that we are waiting on cashing. Now, I hate to jinx any bet, so I don't like to say we're going to win until we've won, because, you know, you learn the hard way in your punting life if you ever go the early crow. Now, some people think I should be bold enough to declare victory on $1.01, but as I outlined, I really don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that the Dragons could upset the Roosters here. And then if they did, you'd definitely give them a chance to beat the Cowboys next week. And then in round 25, if Bennett says, well, the Storm won the comp last year and played the whole reserves in the final round, we might do the same. We can't change our ladder position. And then if the Dragons only needed to beat South's second string to make the finals, they probably could. So I'm not going to jinx it. I hope that the Roosters beat the Dragons this week, but I also hope the Dragons cover that first half line. That'd be ideal. We'll see how we go. I'm not just mentioning it to keep referencing the 15-1. It's also in the context of this match. It's just worth noting that some people might just think, oh, the Dragons season is over, but even though they've lost five in a row, their season actually still is alive. And I'm kind of counting on that being a factor in them putting in a good final performance this weekend. Obviously, if they lose, then it's a different story about whether or not, like, how much energy they bring into the Cowboys game and who they play. Now, in terms of who is playing this week, McCulloch has an ankle injury out for the season. Laurie, knee injury, maybe out for the season. Maguire will start at 9. They do get the boost of Tarek Sims back. Dufty back to fullback, so Bird to the centres. Corey Norman, much maligned this week. He's actually going to switch and play halfback. But speaking of, you know, suspensions, the Roosters, another one. Radley is so important to this team. He's going to be out. Crichton, I don't feel like he did a lot wrong in that crusher tackle, but because of loading, he got 3 weeks. He's still out. And Radley suffered from loading as well because, yes, it was a penalty, his challenge on Albert Kelly in that game against the Broncos, but he's got 3 weeks for this because of prior offences. So I feel like Roosters have got the short end of the stick with a few of these suspensions on a year where the injuries have piled up. On a positive note for the Roosters, Warrior Hargraves will return from having a rest. But still overall, I just think the fact that the stakes are high for St. George, now albeit they are high for the Roosters as well because the Roosters are trying to fight off Manly for that top four finish. But that's what should make this one actually a good game on Sunday afternoon, I reckon. And I should also just acknowledge the train of thought some people have that finishing fifth is not much worse than finishing fourth. For one, there's no travel factor. And two, fourth is a date with the Melbourne Storm in week one, which not necessarily every team wants. I hear that argument. I still believe that if you are a team that thinks we can win the comp, we can make the grand final, you have to back yourself that you can upset the big guns. Therefore, you want to get top four and you want that shot at the Storm in week one, because if you beat them, you get that all-important bye and then the prelim. And no matter who you play in that prelim, you're going to give yourself a big chance to make a grand final. So I think that the Roosters are going to be up for this one. Equally, I think St. George. Therefore, I think hotly contested game. But a double-digit line feels a bit high, and getting over 6 points in the first half, I've got to play the Dragons for a best bet. And I'm also going to use this game as the second part of the mixed matchup. So this week, shooting for 13 wins from the last 14, we're taking the Dragons to outscore the Raiders, and that's paying $2.25. The reason I like this as well, although I don't have a best bet on the Manly Raiders game, I talked about how I would lean Manly. I expect Manly should be too good. And I really feel like the Raiders' only chance on Friday night against Manly is an arm wrestle style game. They do not want to get into a track meet with Manly. And Manly's a team that just gasses you as well with what they do with the football and the way that they've been dominating games lately. And I think Manly is wanting to tune up for the finals and not let in any soft tries either. So I don't see the Raiders scoring too many points on Friday against Manly. Then you come to Sunday. I like the fact that the team, we don't want to score too many plays at night, but that the team we're looking for points from is in a day game with the Dragons. I feel like although their season's still alive, in a way, there's not a great deal of pressure on them. So the Dragons, I think, throw the footy around a little bit against the Roosters. And Roosters missing a couple of key forwards there. I think they're not their full, stout, strong, you know, full strength side this week. Therefore, there's going to be a couple opportunities for the Dragons to hopefully chase a reasonably modest total. I want to note something important, which is a slight change to the conditions of the mixed matchups. And this is kind of come about after we absolutely cleaned out Top Sport a few weeks ago with that Saturday Slayer bet, where we got $3.25 on a bet that combined three different matches. and the lines had actually moved after Wednesday on all three matches. And when that all combined, it actually gave us like a really, really strong edge by the time you could bet that, you know, the following day. And Tristan and I have talked about this and how can we, you know, protect Top Sport and their liability, but also make it fair for the punters that follow the pod. And especially knowing that the rugby league season is a war of attrition and that key players, I think it's going to be more common that, you know, key players are going to get withdrawn or rested last minute. And, or, you know, news can come out any day that any player, as we saw with Turbo, although then he got ruled back in. It's happened to us before where, you know, Ponga got ruled out for a mixed matchup. So the good thing about Top Sport is it's a fixed price bet and they've honored the price on the Wednesday. But what we've agreed now is if there's any significant market moves, the odds of the mixed matchup can be altered. So that can be in Top Sport's favor or in our favor. So if we bet on the Knights to outscore somebody and then Ponga is out, the market's going to get pulled and put back up at higher odds. But if we bet on somebody to score more than Manly and then Turbo gets ruled out, the market's going to get pulled and come back out at lower odds. So it's just like any other fixed odds, and it's only going to be, the odds are only going to be changed if it's a significant move. It's not going to be something like so dynamic or so fluid, but it's worth acknowledging for you, for everyone. Like when you bet on it, you've got to bet on it with all factors considered, and all factors at the current point in time are built into the price. And if anything major changes, it could actually result in a better price available. So in the example here with Dragons playing the Raiders, or Dragons to outscore Raiders, well, the Raiders play Manly. There's still that possibility that Manly could rest Turbo as late as an hour before kickoff. If that happens, the Raiders team total would actually become a little bit higher. Therefore, our odds would actually increase. So you could decide to wait closer to kickoff. If Turbo gets scratched, maybe you don't want this bet because you feel Raiders have more chance to score against Manly. But maybe you wait because you want to get higher odds. But on the other hand, it could go the other way too, where Jack Whiten or you know, Hodgson or whatever gets ruled out for the Raiders, and then Top Sport would reserve the right to drop this price too. So you got to factor it in and decide. But certainly at the price $2.25 that we're on right now, I like that. It gives us a good chance to just keep the train rolling with the mixed matchup. Let's move to the final game of the round. Really interesting one, which I couldn't quite get over the line for a best bet, but I do lean to the Warriors playing the Broncos. It's basically pick 'em, or some bookies have the Warriors minus 1.5 point favorites, but it's at Suncorp. Now, I listened to a few pods. A lot of people are talking about how the Broncos are really improved recently, and it got me thinking, like, am I missing something? Are Brisbane really that improved? So I thought I'd do a little deep dive on the Broncos and look a little closer at their last 6 weeks. And whether or not they are actually playing good footy, or whether some of the score lines have flattered them. Now, why do I go back 6 weeks? That does definitely seem to be a turning point in their season. It was actually, I think, the first game that Katoni Staggs came back. And if you go back 7 weeks, they lost 46-0 to the Rabbitohs. If you go back 8 weeks, they lost by 20 to the Raiders. If you go back 9 weeks, they had 50 put on them by the Dragons. If you go back 10 weeks, the Broncos had 40 put on them by the Storm. So you get my point. Brisbane was in really bad form in the middle of this season. 6 weeks ago, Stags came back. They beat Cronulla. That was an impressive performance. That was a big effort. 5 weeks ago, Brisbane lost by 18 to the Tigers. I'd say they were pretty bad that day. 4 weeks ago, Brisbane lost by 6 to Penrith. No shame, but I think it's worth noting. Penrith had a few outs, and it was 18-0 before Brisbane got some backdoor tries. 3 weeks ago, Brisbane beat North Queensland by 20. Sure, that is a good win. But North Queensland are absolutely battling. Again, Staggs was really big in that game, and he injured his knee really late in that game, which ended up being season-ending for him. 2 weeks ago, an 8-point loss to the Knights. Sure, looks respectable. Once again, similar to the Penrith game, they were down 20 and scored a couple late. To me, it wasn't overly impressive. And last week, they lost a coin flip match to the Roosters, which was a pretty good effort. So what I take from all that is, yeah, they're improved from the side that was bottom of the ladder 6-7 weeks ago and getting flogged every week. But really, they're not necessarily competitive every week. And some of those games where they were pretty good was on the back of Katoni Staggs being one of the best on the ground. Now, while he's gone, I should say Farnworth rejoins this team, who's usually one of Brisbane's best backs. And interestingly, Gamble is out, so Milf gets another chance to start in the halves, and he's going to partner Kelly. Looking at the Warriors side of the equation, they've won three games in a row. They're in the same situation as the Dragons and the Tigers and Cronulla, where it's still possible they can make the eight, but it's going to take three more wins in these final three games. Arguably, the Warriors have the most winnable slate of any of these teams that needs to win out. So their season is still alive. Wuteni Zeleznyak returns from suspension. Bailey Sirenin returns as well. He's going to start at lock forward. My initial reaction was, I've got to take New Zealand here. I know they're confident. They're looking like they're enjoying their footy. It's clearly a must win, so I know the motivation's there. I got a little bit more trust in the New Zealand spine. I mean, Turpin is in the reserves for Broncos, but they've named Levi. I just feel he's a player that's not offering a lot for the Broncos. I look at the halves and I trust Harris Tavita more than I trust Milford or Kelly, although I'll grant you that they're unpredictable players. But I look at Reece Walsh as a real game-changing player, scarier than new. And across the forwards, I kind of think it's pretty well matched. I know Haas has been superhuman for Brisbane, and a few other forwards have kind of stepped up here and there, Flegler, Ricky, Hetherington. But it's a similar sort of thing for New Zealand. Fenua Blake, the leader of that pack, but you got Curran's been fantastic. Aitken has done well since moving to the back row. So you look at it, you know, across the board, and it is a pretty even match. And I do give the slight edge to the Warriors. But then again, I feel like their edge in terms of being a little bit better is kind of cancelled out by the fact that Broncos are at home and they will have fans in attendance. So I think both these teams will play well. I just couldn't sway my opinion strongly enough either way, so I leave it alone. But I do have four best bets for you guys. I have shared a mixed matchup. We've gone deep into responsible gambling and realities of punting. We've had Market Watch. We've had one of our longest pods of the year. So hope you guys haven't minded me going a little bit more in-depth than before. Let's leave it there. Hope we can get back on track this weekend, but there's never any guarantees. Please let me know what you think of my four best bets and any other tips you've got for the weekend or any other insights. Always appreciate your feedback. Good luck on the punt. Always gamble responsibly. And legal.